We have a good number of folks here this morning. We really appreciate everyone being here. I hope you open your Bibles. If we have anything that's said and you question or want more explanation for, feel free to let us know. Be glad to sit down with you to talk to you about the Word of God. We had a lesson this morning in Bible class. I thought about this while Jim was teaching because he was talking about giving. I thought, okay, if there's a lesson that if you want to get on brethren's bad side, talk about giving. And maybe the other lesson I would do just about as much is talk about the subject I'm going to talk about this morning. And so hopefully, though, we'll all open our Bible study along with the Word of God. Because we're going to talk this morning about a very serious subject, one that has touched many, many families. And that is, we're going to talk about divorce and what the Bible says about that. As we talked about last week, for those who were not here last week, let me just point out, it's just kind of a summation of what we talked about. As I would point out, marriage is a divine relationship. It's not created by man. That was created by God in Genesis 2nd chapter, verse 24 and 25. And therefore, God is the one that created it. He's the one that really tells what marriage is and that can legislate or can restrict it. It's up to him. And so when we go through a Bible, we find some things about marriage, for it's between a man and woman and God. That we have actually have the husband and wife as they are making this vow to each other. And they're making this vow with God also that they're going to be faithful to each other. They're going to live together. And as we often hear in our marriage ceremonies, that we have these conditions through rich or poor, better or worse, sickness and health, and ends with the idea, till death do we part. And then again, that's because as you look at marriage, it's intended to be a relationship that lasts for a lifetime. And so God binds them together in a scriptural marriage. And also we just point out, again, it's to intend to last until a spouse dies under the ideal circumstance. When, as I kind of sometimes jokingly say it, but it's true in a lot of ways, that you're in this till death. That you have made that promise, you're going to stay with that person no matter what happens. In fact, in our marriage ceremonies, we are making this great promise of staying together, working through our problems no matter what may happen. And so that was what we talked about last week. And if you're like me, whenever I hear somebody give a summation like this, I wonder, why did you take a whole 30 minutes last week to talk about this? Why not just do the 5 minutes or 2 minutes that just happened? And that's because we want to make sure we have this understanding, because this next thing, and that is that then we also know that divorce happens. In our country today, that divorce is becoming more and more common. And we all know people, we all have family members that have had a divorce. And I can tell you various situations that I have been faced with as far as sitting down with Christians or sitting down with people that have been coming to church and they ask a question about their marriage. And in many cases, it may be a young couple that they got married. Maybe they got married just really not realizing the responsibilities they were taking on. This promise of till death do you part just quite did not sink in. And then after a few years, they realized that they were young, they were immature, and they really weren't ready for marriage. And one decides, I want to do something else. I want to leave. And so they decide to leave. It may be a situation where they have been together for a number of years and they start having children. And he starts, maybe his hair starts kind of turning gray or start losing his hair. Maybe she starts gaining a little bit of weight. And so all of a sudden, they're no longer the physical specimen they were earlier in their life. And so they look around and they find somebody that is more attractive. And so they decide, again, that they're going to go and find somebody else. It may be a case of drug abuse where all of a sudden they didn't realize the person had this drug habit or developed a drug habit. Or it may be some kind of physical abuse. All kinds of different situations occurs. And as I tell people, I realize that a lot of times when people talk about these situations, how painful they are and how bad many of these situations really are. And I do sympathize with people. I remember one couple, we had been studying with them. We had a place I was preaching at, we had a newspaper article once a week, and I was writing that. And they, for whatever reason, came, and that because they had been studying those articles, they wanted to sit down with me and talk about the Bible. And after about a second or third study, I remember telling Regina that day before going to her house, I said, these people are going to obey the gospel. They're just too interested not to do that. They're too sincere what they're trying to do. And as we studied, right before I got ready to leave, Wallace said, let me ask you about this passage. And they start talking about their marriage situation. And they ask, what does the Bible say about this? And my heart just sang because it dealt with some of the passages we're going to talk about this morning. And so as we start this year, we have to realize it happens. And again, all different situations occur. Sometimes unfaithfulness on part of one. Sometimes because they decide they can't live together anymore. Sometimes there's various issues that come along. So those things happen. And so when we deal with the subject of divorce, we have to look and see what is the Bible saying. Specifically, what did Jesus say? What does the New Testament say about this? And so we love these passages. There's not that many of those, but we look at, first of all, Matthew 19 chapter, as read for us a few minutes ago, as Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, is lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Some translates, instead of the idea of tempting, says testing him. And that is, they realized that this, even back then, this was a controversial subject. And this was a very emotional subject. And this was a subject, no matter how you're going to answer it, somebody's going to be upset with your answer. And the same thing applies today. And yet that has not changed, really, the answer that Jesus gave. And when they're asked the question, is lawful for a man to put his wife away for every cause, for any reason? What they refer to is what goes back to the Old Testament, back to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. And there the law of Moses states, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some cleanness in her. And therefore, here's the reason. Now, notice it's kind of ambiguous language, isn't it? It doesn't exactly specify what that uncleanness was. Many things it refers to the idea of a moral uncleanness in her. Others interpret this much more broadly, and that is that she did something that he didn't like. If she burned the bread, if she was simply a bad housekeeper, if she spent too much money, whatever it may have been, that gave him a cause that he could say, well, I don't find favor in her anymore, and I don't think she's what she should be. And so he, as it goes on, says, and he writes her a certificate of divorce. And so here you have, okay, the writing of divorce, but the legal process, and then he goes on, says, and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. And so when you read this passage, you have a legal aspect of this, the right of divorcement, but you also have the relationship as it ends. And that is that they no longer live together as man and wife, as husband and wife. Now, as you go on, we find that in both marriage and divorce, there's a legal requirement. And that is, we realize that when couples get married, they, first of all, one of the things they have to do is they have to actually get married. In other words, we obey the laws of our land. We go to the courthouse. We get a license. Let's get married. And go on, again, that's the harmony of Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so here in our country, we have a courthouse. You go get your license. But then you also have a ceremony. You have somebody has to write some information in there. And then you have to have a file before you can actually be married, legally talk about. But also realize that marriage is the husband and wife to come together, and they live together as man and wife in that relationship. And sometimes people say, well, you know, there's not a prescribed process in the Bible for a person to get a divorce. In other words, we don't have in the Bible itself a passage that says, here is exactly the language for divorce, or here's exactly the process again, divorce, any more than Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. But we also realize that there's not really a passage in the Bible that talks about marriage as far as here's what's got to be said at the marriage ceremony, or here exactly is a step-by-step process of entering into marriage. But we understand people got married. And so the same thing here is that people got divorced. And so we look at this here, and we realize then we have to do what the government says. We will abide by the laws of government. And also we separate when there is divorce going on in this passage. And what may be showing this here is this chart here, the idea of put away. Again, some translations may actually have the words divorce. But when a person puts away their spouse, what are they doing? Well, one is, some would say, well, they're splitting the blanket.
That's an old-fashioned phrase. And the idea is that they quit living together. Others will say, well, they separate. They're not living together anymore. They're unmarried at this point then. And also, we can look and some will say, well, if they have, he has repudiated, or he has really kicked her out of the house, or she has kicked him out of the house. And so they repudiate the other person. Another way of saying it is that the marriage is simply dissolved. And all these phrases get to the same point, and that is that they put asunder, or that they have, the physical relationship has been destroyed. And that's what a divorce is. You destroy your physical relationship with the other person. They're no longer living together as husband and wife. And so when that couple does that, they're no longer together. And so what does Scripture say about that then? Now we know people do it. We know they did in times of Jesus. We know they did for various reasons during times of Jesus. And we know people do the same thing today. Okay, well let's just go back at though. What does the Bible actually say about this? And so here's the Scriptures. Not that many of them actually. And one is over in Matthew 5, verse 31 and 32. And there it said, that has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, and so there's the idea of put away, okay, they split the blanket, they have put asunder, he's put away his wife, let him give her a right of divorcement. So there's the legal process involved in. Then he goes on, and he says, but I say to you, okay, this refers to what they have been doing. This refers back to the application they have made under the law of Moses. And when you read this passage, you see where Jesus says, but I say to you, it's much like with Jesus teaching on other occasions, that he may talk about the law of Moses, but when he says, but I say to you, what he's doing is he's no longer expounding on the law of Moses or expounding on the question. What he's doing is he's laying down his law, what he wants them to do. And so he says, but I say to you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that's divorced commit adultery. Now we know, sir, there's an exception. That exception is this idea of the cause of fornication. That is, one person was unfaithful to the other spouse, and therefore the other person. And a lot of times we refer to that person as the innocent person because they had not committed the sin. Then the innocent person has the right to go out and marry somebody else. However, without that exception there, if you don't read the exception there, if you just read that, whoever shall put away his wife, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that's divorced, commit adultery. And so that becomes a lot plain. That becomes pretty plain as far as what the law is. Then we can look at another passage. We look over in Mark 10, 11, 12. And this is a similar reading in that passage. And there it says, he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, commit adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now notice in this case here, he kind of includes the idea the woman may actually be the one to file for divorce, the one to actually put away her husband in this passage. But again, the end result is still the same thing. And that is, the man and the wife both commit adultery when they go out and marry somebody else. And then we look over here in Luke 16, verse 18. And that passage says, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. So when you look at these passages, again, they all harmonize. That one doesn't say anything really different than the other, except for the idea of the exception. And that, again, Matthew 19, 9, that we had read for us a few minutes ago. And it says, and I say unto you. Now again, when Jesus says that, he's laying down his law, what he wants them to do. He says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, committeth adultery. So when you look at these passages, we can kind of visualize it maybe this way, the parties involved. Okay, we have some parties involved. We have, there first, there's the put away person, and maybe the person put away because fornication. They have not been faithful to their spouse. Okay, so this would include maybe the young guy, the young man, or whoever it is that decided to go and commit adultery with somebody else. And so that person then can be put away. There's those who are put away for some other reason than fornication. Now, again, this may be a case where the couple just decide we can't get along. And you know what? We're just better off to separate. So they both agree amicably, if I said that right, to actually leave each other and just live separate. And maybe a case where one says, I've had enough. The other one says, well, I want to stay and work this thing out. But either way, the divorce applies to both of those, and that is that both people have a divorce for some other reason, fornication. And then those who put away their spouse for some other reason, fornication, again, that would be the person then that says, I'm going to divorce you, and maybe because I don't think you clean house good enough, I don't think you make enough money, but whatever it may be. And so they put away the other person for some other reason, fornication. As you read through this, those who marry either the put-away person or the one who did the putting away. And this is why I would call the third party. And as they weren't a part of the original marriage, this may be the other boyfriend, this may be the girlfriend later on. And so you have that person. So you have really kind of like three different parties involved here. You have the husband, you have the wife, and you have somebody else that they later on decide to marry. Now I know most of the time, in fact, I can recall one time, I got a call from one of the men in the congregation that one of the young families said she wanted to talk to us, this young lady, and we went to visit her. And her husband had become very jealous of her, and basically she said he made her life so miserable, she said, I can't live anymore. And I remember her words right now, rings in my ears. She said, I'd rather be separate, I'd rather be single the rest of my life to be married to him. And she was making a promise, basically, I'm going to stay single the rest of my life. Now, I know what happens. And that is, after a little while, you start to get lonely. And after a little while, she started to look around. And it wasn't maybe a couple years later, she started dating somebody else again. And so that often happens when somebody says, I mean it. I'm not going to get married again. Most of the time, they do. Most of the time, they do go out and find somebody else. And so when you look at this, maybe in another way of looking at it, just kind of in a picture way, you have the whosoever. Now, in this case, I've pictured a man. He's whosoever. Okay, he decides, and here's the wife, he decides to put her away for fornication. She was unfaithful to him. Now, again, when you read that passage in Matthew 19:9, well, it says that he that put his wife away for fornication and may marry another. And that is, he's been released from the marriage bond. Because she was unfaithful, he filed for divorce. Now, he has the right to go out and marry somebody else. And he said, that's okay. Now, the wife, though, that there's a whosoever marries her who has been put away. Now, again, this case here, she may have been the one guilty of fornication. And so he marries her. What happened? He marries her. He says, well, they're committing adultery. Okay, so there's a case where it's committing adultery involved. Now, so the fornication gives him the right, but not her the right to go out and marry somebody else. Well, look at Luke 16, verse 18. And again, very similar always. And so again, you have the whosoever, the man, and he decides to put away his wife. Now, notice in this passage here, or this graph right here, this chart right here, there's something very vital missing. And what's missing is that red letters that was on that first chart, and that is the case of fornication. It is not in that passage. And so he decides to put away his wife. And again, he decides now to marry somebody else. And say, well, the Bible says, well, it says he commits adultery when he does that. And then you also have this woman over here. And now she may have yet been, again, there's no fornication involved. He didn't put away because of that. And so she may have been the person pleading with him to stay and to work out their problems. So she may have been the person who says, okay, you want to get out of this, and so do I, so let's just get a divorce. It doesn't really matter. What it says here is that she decides then that whosoever marries her, then what about her situation? One says commits adultery. So again, without the cause of fornication, both of them are guilty of adultery. In fact, you've got four people now committing adultery in this passage. Now, so what we have then is that we understand, okay, you look at those passages, they're pretty simple, aren't they? I mean, if anybody reads anything else in those passages, let me know. Because I think Mark 10, 11, 12, Luke 16, 18, Matthew 19, 9 are very simple passages to read. And so the question comes up, what does divorce mean? What does divorce mean in these passages? Because what happens a lot of times, in this case, going back to Luke 16, verse 18, the person says, I've heard people make the argument that, well, now that he has committed adultery, now she has the right to go out and get married to somebody else because now fornication has been involved, and now she has the right to go out and marry somebody else after divorce, after they've been separated. And so what happens is, what does divorce mean? And so here's what, notice we have no problem understanding what divorce means without the exception. When you read through Mark 10, 11, 12, Luke 16, 18, when you take the exception out of Matthew 19, 9, divorce means something very simple, doesn't it? It means they have split the blanket. It means he has put her away. It means they have separated, what it means in every one of those passages. And so what it means is a separate, to depart, to send the other person away, in short order, to end the marriage is what it means. You're called to quits. And so that's what you've done when you divorce. Now, there's the intent to end the marriage and the writing of divorcement in the legal process. In other words, that's what they intended to do. They went through the process legally, and so they've ended their marriage. And there's the intent of it. And they are still, and they, by the they there, I submit to you, is the people in Matthew 19, verse 3. When they ask the question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? They understood what that meant. What that word divorce or put away meant. It meant the same thing as meant over in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. And so they understood what was meant by divorce. And they understood when Jesus answered a question, that's what he was meaning also. The same thing they were meaning when he used that word. And so that means put away is what divorcement means. In fact, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds here with Greek words and definitions, but I think this is important here. And that is the word puts away, the phrase in our Bible, or divorce, and apoluo is a Greek word there. It involves departing, dismissing, releasing, whether from sins, captivity, or company. Letting go, loosening, setting away, setting free, liberating, departing, or leaving. Notice the word is not automatically the word divorce. What it means is that is, depending on the context, you could have a slave master that may actually release his slave, and what he does, he dismisses him. He sets him free. It depends on the context, what that word actually means. However, in this passage, what we understand is it's related to the marriage situation. It's related to the marriage bond that they were asking him about. And so there is the case of releasing or departing from one another, of leaving. Now, apoluo used in the New Testament. Again, we'll look here at Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They're bound together. Again, in the marriage relationship, they become one flesh. Wherefore, they are no longer twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, again, they are bound together by the covenant, by the law, let not man put asunder. Let not man separate. Let not man depart from. Is what that means in that passage. We have here, once one spouse had apolloed, left the marriage, and they put it asunder, divided, there's no longer a marriage. Okay, they quit being a married couple when one person leaves or divorces their spouse. Now, you think about this, then, we read these passages, so I'm not going to go through all these passages again. But what is meant by divorce in Matthew 5, verse 31, 32? It's the same idea. I mean, I didn't put on the chart there, but let me just go back here and just read it one more time, because I want us to look at this here. It's a very important passage. And I'm reading out New King James here. It says, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any cause except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever divorces, marries a woman's divorce commits adultery. So what is meant by divorce in Matthew 5, verse 31 and 32? It's the same definition. Same idea is expressed in it. And that is, they have departed, they set aside, they have split the blanket in their marriage. I did put it up here. Excuse me. I already read it. But anyway, there it is. But you see here, there we have, it means the same thing. It means to split apart or separate. Mark 12, 10, 11, there's the right divorce and end of marriage. It's basically what it talks about in that passage. The same thing is meant by the word divorce or apoluo in Luke 16, verse 18. Same idea expressed there. And again, I get back to the fact we don't have any problem. I define divorce until we get to exception. Now, I'm answering one specific argument while I'm doing this lesson, and that is there some have made the argument. Okay, you have a couple, they get divorced, no fornication involved. And then later on, one decides to go out and get married, or goes out and starts living with somebody else, and then the other person now has a right to divorce their spouse and go out and marry somebody else. And what they've done is they redefine the idea of what divorce means. And so when you look here at these passages that don't have the exception, divorce is very simple to understand. And that is, that means to end the marriage. They swept the blank there. And so again, in Matthew 19, 9, I say to you, whoever shall put away his wife, except to be for fornication, shall marry another, commit adultery. And so when married, there was put away, commit adultery. And so in this passage now, again, same definition of for divorce is used. To separate, to put asunder is what it means there. And so unless they have been separated or put asunder for the cause of fornication, then they don't have a right. Then the one person that answered doesn't have the right to go out and get married to somebody else. And notice also when we read this passage, the phrase there, marrieth another, is used in all those passages. In Mark 12, or yeah, it should be Mark 10, 11, 12, Luke 16, 18, Matthew 19, 9, they marry somebody else. Again, the reason because they don't have a right to be married to somebody else. Again, same idea expressed in Matthew 5, verse 31, 32. And so, in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, which our inspired translation says, sends out of his house. They have a right of divorcement. He sends her out. He gives her, it requires intention in marriage. They want in marriage. He intends to, requires action. He sends her out of the house. And also requires physical separation out of the house. Okay, physical separation is required there. And so Jesus used the word apluo to express sent her out of his house. Sent out of his house in that passage also. The same idea is expressed there. And that is, he ends the physical relationship, sends her out of the house, gives us the writing of divorcement. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so the spouse that puts away or repudiates his mate, loses him or severs him from acceptance of marriage. This is the meaning apluo. They can't go out and get married to somebody else. Because why? Because they've already been divorced without the cause of fornication. Another one says, he explicitly declares to the mate that he no longer wills to live in marriage with the mate. He releases her. He declares her repudiated. That's not really mental. In other words, not just saying, you know, sometimes couples may kind of jokingly say this. May sometimes they're a little bit upset with one another. Say, you know, I just need to divorce you. I just need to leave. And that's not a divorce, just saying, just thinking that. You have to go through the process again. It's not merely mental, but through the process. That's action. And then two spouses are separated. They're unmarried, not living together anymore. And so again, what we have here, as the chart I showed you earlier, as far as the divorce put away, it means all these things here, split the blanket, they're separate, they're unmarried, not living together. They're repudiated, they're the spouse, their marriage is dissolved, they're put asunder, and the physical relationship then has been destroyed. They're no longer living together. And so that's what we have here in this marriage, the idea of divorce or apluo. Now, I will agree. I've heard some make the argument, well, apluo doesn't automatically mean divorce. And that's true. Again, it depends on the context of the word. And Matthew 14, verse 23, for instance, it said, when he has sent the multitudes away, okay, that sent away is the word apluo. And what this is talking about divorce, but he's released them or he's sent them on their way. He went on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. So there's the case, he sent them away, is what the word means. In Acts 13, verse 3, at Antioch, when Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey, the church of Antioch there came together and said, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, that's what it means in that passage. Now, it does mean that something has happened here. There's some action, but it's not talking about divorce in those passages. But that doesn't change what it means in Matthew 19:9,
It doesn't change what it means in Matthew 5, 31, 32. It doesn't change what it means in Mark 10, 11, 12. It doesn't change what it means in Luke 16, verse 18. And those passages, when it talks about the marriage, it's talking about put away or divorce. And you can express it either way, it means the same thing. And so that's what we have in the relationship. Now, the last thing I want to talk about here is this point here about fornication, because there is the cause of fornication. Except for the cause of fornication, Matthew 19:9 says, and his relationship to divorce. And that is, when does fornication occur? Okay. Now, you have three choices. Before the marriage, before they ever got married, in the marriage, or after marriage, after divorce, after the marriage ended. In what situation, when Jesus says, whoever put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, marries another, commits adultery, when did that fornication occur? Now, you look at that passage, that would seem to be very simple because, you know, before the marriage, now, they sinned against God by committing fornication, but not against each other. They hadn't broken the marriage vows because that bond hadn't even been created yet. So it does refer to the idea of a person that may have committed fornication before they ever got married. And again, that's not to excuse the sin of fornication. But I'm simply submitting to you, when Jesus talks about that exception in Matthew 19:9, he's not talking about you find out later on, or maybe earlier than your marriage, that person had been immoral, then that gives you a right now. And so it couldn't be before the marriage. And after marriage, that would describe Mark 10, 11, 12, Luke 16, 18, Matthew 19:9. And that is exactly what Jesus talked about. Okay, fornication after they have been divorced, was, you know, that doesn't give them a right to get married. And so if the husband goes out and marries somebody else after they got divorced, again, it wasn't for cause of fornication. Why does it say? Well, he commits adultery. But that doesn't give the wife now, this first wife, the opportunity says, aha, he's committed adultery. Now I can go out there and separate. Now I can go out there and really divorce him. Now I can go out and marry somebody else. No, because all those passages describe exactly that situation. And so it doesn't apply. It doesn't give them the right to go out and get married to somebody else. And so we have to just keep these things in mind, because the fornication is the cause for the divorce. It is not, basically, I put it here, the cause cannot be after the effect. You know, cause, effect, the relationship. Well, the cause has to be for fornication. It can't be after divorce, and then you say, okay, now we have a cause for the divorce later on. It's got to be in the order Jesus gave in Matthew 19, verse 9, for us to understand. And so let's just look at this chart here. It may help us understand this. We have two cases, Matthew 19, 9. And as you have this case here, the woman, the man, or whosoever. Okay, so they decide, the man here, he decides to go out there, and he decides to put away his wife. And as he does that, he marries somebody else, he marries another person, and has another wife without cause, no fornication involved there, was it? He commits adultery. Isn't that exactly what Matthew 19:9 says? Okay, now he has the case here. He puts away his wife. Now he has a cause for fornication. Now he has a reason. Okay, he puts away his wife for the cause of fornication. And then he marries another. He says there's no adultery. Now he has a right to, because of the cause of fornication. But what that means is, that puts away there means exactly the same thing in both situations. A single word cannot have two meanings in the same sentence. If that put away means this idea of divorce here without adultery, then it means the same idea here with fornication. If it means the same thing with fornication, it means the same thing without fornication. So the same idea is expressed by that word. And we can't change the definition of that simple word. And so puts away and marries have the same meaning in both cases, is what it means. I was looking at here. So I just wanted us to go through that, because again, there's all kinds of various teachings on this. And I remember many years ago also staying for a high school class. We had probably about 10, 12 teenagers. And I wasn't one trying to be fatalistic or trying to be negative with them at all. I just told them, said, you know, statistically speaking, when I look out at you, And I started going through statistics as far as how many of them statistically would have marriages that would end in divorce. And I just kind of point out, now that doesn't mean your marriage is going to end that way. That's what it talks about, though, is that this is real. And this does happen, and this does happen to Christians. And Christians' lives have been destroyed by this. I understand that. And so we want to make sure that when you start dating, when you start into your marriage, you understand the commitment you're making, but also it means that you will stick with it and work out any problems you have. Because you want to go to heaven, and you want your spouse to go to heaven, and you want your children to go to heaven. And the only way we're going to do that is if we do exactly what God's law says and do it right. And so that's what should always be our desire. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Tonight we're going to look at some of the arguments, some of the comments and arguments made about this. And so that we're going to kind of delve into that some tonight in our lesson. I appreciate your kind attention. And we have a song here selected now for one of encouragement. This morning I thought about the Passover, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And there it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, have you had something totally worn out? You know, it's been so useful that it just shows the wear and tear of years and years of use. Now, this Bible of mine, and it's a hard Bible to find. It's a New King James. It's called God's Gift. And I don't, it's not really that expensive of a Bible, but the problem is, after about 10 years of use, I start losing pages out of it. And so I've had to kind of retire it a little bit. Well, this last week, somebody contacted me and said, I found that Bible. I have this Bible. And he sent me to it, and I mailed a check for it. But you know what? This Bible is so new. This morning, I didn't even want to open it up because I was afraid to get oil on it. I was afraid to start wearing tear on it. Because everything in this life here is temporary. What's eternal is our soul. Our soul does not know time. Our soul does not grow old. It's for eternity. And so of all things that we want to be new, of all things we want to keep new and fresh before God is our soul. And so this morning, if you have sin in your life, or maybe have never obeyed the gospel, and you would like to sit down and study and understand what the Bible means and what we mean when we talk about believing Jesus Christ, Son of God, what we mean when Jesus talks about repentance, confessing Him, and being baptized for remission of sins, what those things